Today on Wings, the topic is accents. Accents in spoken English and what that has to do with caste.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
The English language is spoken all over the world, but it isn't spoken everywhere the same. For producers of international radio programs, this is an especially interesting topic, because we are always having to ask ourselves if the majority of the audience will be able to understand the accent of a given speaker, and what can we do to help make the content clearer. Today on Wings, you'll hear a program by Mia Kim that is all about accents, what they are, who has them, and what people experience because of having accents that other people don't understand, or perhaps won't bother to try to understand. Please listen carefully, and at the end of the program, drop us an email at wings@wings.org with your own opinion as a listener about accents.
Well, everybody has an accent. I am Rosina Lippi, former professor of linguistics. An accent is just a combination of features specific to one individual's language. So, for example, the way a sentence is strung together. In Illinois and Chicago, people are likely to say, one person says, I'm going to the store, and the next person will say, can I come with? And instead of, can I come with you? That's a regionalism. If you're talking about somebody who speaks English as a second language, that kind of accent is, they come as an adult or as a teenager, you start to learn English, say your native language is German or your native language is some variety of Chinese, you bring to the language you're learning your phonology of your native language.
My name is Evelyn Elohalt. I'm from Côte d'Ivoire, West Africa. I'm the program supervisor of the African Women's Coalition. I would say almost, 4 years and 10 months. I took for 5 years classes like once a week when I was in middle school and high school, but it was British, it was an American.
An accent doesn't mean that a person cannot be fluent and persuasive in a language. It just means that it's the markers of their original language, of their mother tongue.
With the British English, I improve also my English by working in international organizations in Italy and through my school, my university in Italy. And I also work for the Pope, for the radio, the Vatican radio in Italy. I also work with the United Nations agency called FAO, the Food and Agriculture. So there, in Italy, I was using Italian as well as English, but still it wasn't enough. For me, my first time when I came here to Portland, my English was very limited. And I realized now I really need to learn American. Also, when you are in a survival mindset, you need to learn the language to be able to live, you know. So I just learn, and it's my seventh language that I learn.
In terms of language, the way it happens is this. One group of people, and they're in specific social groups. So, for example, broadcasters, teachers. One group of people tell another group of people, we are the masters of language. We speak English or what depends on what country. It happens everywhere. We speak English. We write English in a superior way to you, and you will never, ever succeed unless you accept our model of English and approach it in exactly the same way we do. And if you don't, then doors will be closed and opportunities will be cut off because you are not speaking the proper form of English. And they are able, and they have been able, amazingly so, to convince people that that's true. So to somehow convince half the country, for example, Southerners or people who grow up speaking Black English vernacular, that their language isn't good enough, that is part of the language subordination model that they managed to sell that bill of goods to so many people, to say, for example, your English isn't good enough to have this job because you can't communicate, you can't get across what you want to say. The same thing goes on with people who speak English as a second language, people who are told that unless they can get rid of their foreign accent, you know, that they won't fit in, that they can't communicate.
I'm from Laos. I work for the Refugee Resettlement Program for about 23 years now. 1976, I came to America. The first time is very difficult for me. I had to go to school at night for this English class. And the daytime, I had to work because my country is not, you know, it's a very small country and it's not like America. The culture and other thing is different. The English is very difficult for me too.
There is no such thing as standard English. When you're talking about spoken language, variation is the way language works. Variation is not optional. It's not something that you can school out of your language. Variation is there at all levels in all aspects of your speech, from pronunciation to word choice to syntax. So if somebody tells you, well, I speak standard English, they think they're speaking standard English, but in fact they're speaking English like everybody else. Maybe the markers in their speech are more associated with more educated people or with more wealthy people, but that's still variation. It doesn't mean it's no better or worse than in any other set of variation. So if somebody says to you, you need to learn standard English or you're never going to make it in this world, what they're saying is you have markers in your speech which are associated with social groups who are stigmatized. And people don't like to admit that those social groups are stigmatized. So instead of saying, you sound black, or you sound like you came from Asia, or you sound ignorant, or you sound poor, they won't say those things. They'll say, you don't speak standard English. That stuff is a matter of social evaluation that doesn't have anything to do with the language itself. And the other thing is, and this is really the sad thing, is that people who buy into the subordination model, so for example, people who come from an area where there's a very stigmatized variety of English, and they go and they try to get rid of their accents, and they learn another variety of English, and they study and they study and they study, and sound pretty much like they want to sound when they're done. But that doesn't change the underlying reason they're being discriminated against. People are saying, oh, well, if only you spoke like us, right? If only you spoke real English like we do, then all doors would open to you. But the fact is that that's not true. Discrimination will be there for another reason then. Oh, if they can't discriminate against you on the basis of language, they'll find another reason, or they won't find any reason at all. They just, you know, won't talk about it, and they'll discriminate anyway.
When I first, you know, come to the country and I work at the restaurant and I don't understand what did they tell me to do. So the boss get mad at me and they fire me. And so I say, oh, one day I can speak English, but my action is not good. But I, you know, I doesn't care about that. I try hard to express my word, you know. So I just think I can speak 4 or 5 languages. I speak Vietnamese, Chinese, Lao, Thai, and English.
Have you ever been in an argument where somebody says, you know, you two people speaking the same language, you know, a family argument, and somebody says, well, I just don't understand you. Basically, they're saying, I don't want to understand you, I refuse to understand you. Right? And that happens all the time. And that happens especially, that is something that's happening a lot when people say, well, I don't understand that person. He's got an accent. People are much more capable of understanding other people with accents or without accents if they're open-minded, right? Normally in a conversation, it's the responsibility of both sides. But the minute the person notices you've got an accent that I don't like where you come from, I don't like anything about you, they'll just shut down and say, it's all your responsibility to make me understand, which is just ridiculous. But that's what's going on, basically.
There was an incident that happened at the store yesterday. I was looking to buy a candle. And I asked the store manager, I say, would you tell me, you know, where I can find the candle? I mean, this candle. And she hears something else. And I was so embarrassed. I'm not going even to repeat the word that she said, but I felt like, no, I don't want that. What I want, this candle, you know, because we have a mother that has a baby. So I was going to bring her a gift and share with her. And this is a symbol of light because a new life can come in. So I wanted to give that to her.
If we really are a society that welcomes diversity of all kinds, then why do we want homogeneity in language, right? If diversity is what we want, why does everybody have to sound the same? There's so many people who come to this country with so much to offer, and they're discouraged because the language they have to offer it in is rejected. Now, in fact, if you reject somebody's language, you're rejecting them. People don't want to admit that, but that's in fact what goes on.
I am Dora Reina. I am from Mexico. I am an accountant. I am in the school right now. Every quarter, I take one class, English class. In the stores, it's very common. If I ask for my size, and the most people, they are nice and trying to understand what I say, but in other occasions, the people is busy or they don't like the Spanish people or I don't know what exactly. But they say like, I don't understand you and please no, just I don't understand you. They are so nice with the others, but maybe not with me. Maybe because they don't have take the time to understand what I said. Sometimes I say to her, you have to be patient or please let me talk with your manager. The supervisor is very nice, always, all the time. I never meet the manager or supervisor like, oh, you are Latino, go away. Or, no. It was always it's like, no, this is really bad. What do you need?
The media claims a lot of authority in matters of language. I'll never forget about 10 years ago, maybe more, there was an ad for one of the major news stations. I think it was Peter Jennings. And it was his big face up on a billboard, and it said, the language of authority. And I just remember thinking, oh, my gosh, why give this man any authority? He does a good job of sitting there in front of the camera and reading the news, but why does it give him any authority in matters of language? So the media claims a lot of authority in terms of language, and we let them have it. And they will say, well, you know, we speak a standard English because we're communicating across great distances. Well, they don't speak standard English because there's no such thing. They just speak a particular variety of English that happens to be less stigmatized than others. I think basically the media needs to get over their obsession with their own importance in terms of setting language standards.
You have an accent, and I'm just like, what accent do they hear? Because I speak 7 languages, so it's a mixture of Abouré, Nushi, Baoulé, Spanish, Italian, and French. So what kind of, you know, mixture is that? And at the beginning, I just felt like it was a way for them to tell me that I was a foreigner, that I was not accepted. And I thought that was really, I don't know how to put it, but just kind of like a way to marginalize me. And I really didn't like them telling me, you know, asking me, oh, you have an accent. I was just like, and it was really frustrating, and I always felt hurt. But then one day someone told me, oh, you have an accent. It's so pretty. I'm just like, oh, an accent. My accent can be pretty. So that's where I realized that I shouldn't be taking it personal. And I just started listening to people. I started traveling. You know, I went to South Dakota, New York, Chicago, and I hear Americans. And I'm just like, oh, no, they have an accent too. So then I'm just like, okay, everybody has an accent. I shouldn't be you know, sick about that or feeling hurt about my accent. And I love the way I talk. I love my accent. I love the speed. I love the tone of my voice and how I pronounce my words. Sometimes people don't hear me or they hear something different.
Let me ask this. Think about this. Would they refuse somebody speaking on the radio if they had a French accent? Probably not. Because why? Because that's culturally acceptable, because that's high profile, because that's considered a good thing. But somebody with an African accent, they might say, oh, no, no, we can't do that, right? That doesn't have to do with the accent. That has to do with social stigma attached to the accent and the place the person comes from. I would say before you claim that people won't understand or that people won't like it, you better look very hard at what the underlying presumptions are. Are you assuming that people won't want to understand somebody who sounds like they're from Africa or Asia? And if that's the case, then the law actually doesn't allow that.
My name's Tracy Derwing, and I'm a professor in the TESOL program in educational psychology at the University of Alberta in Canada. Second language learners tend to have accents if they've started to learn the language after early childhood. And there are very few people who can acquire a second language after early childhood without any trace of an accent. You know, there are some exceptional people, but for the most part, most people are going to have an accent. And it's because of the influence of their first language. They've already mastered a first language, and they've developed certain patterns to produce the sounds in that first language. And those carry over. They transfer over to the second language. I conducted some research a few years ago with some colleagues where we were looking at seeing whether we could train listeners, English speakers, to understand accented speech. Because our students always complained that when they talked to their ESL teachers, they had no trouble making themselves understood. But when they talked to members of the general public, people just wouldn't understand them. And often they said that they could just see it in their faces. As soon as they heard someone starting to speak with an accent, their faces would shut down, like they would just stop listening. In this study, we tried to see if we could teach people, native speakers of English, to become better listeners to accented speech. And the people we chose to work with were students in a social work program. What we did was we took three classes of students in this social work program. And one class received no instruction, so they were the control group. One class received instruction where we met with them 8 times over 8 weeks. And we exposed them to snippets of Vietnamese accented speech, so they had exposure to accent. And then we designed lessons that were tied with their social work topics. So they had sort of sociocultural lessons tied in with the accented speech that they were listening to. And finally, we had a group of students who received exactly the same amount of exposure to Vietnamese accented speech as the second group. And they had the same sociocultural lesson. But they also had an explanation about how Vietnamese speech is accented. So we explained to them how Vietnamese is different from English. And we tested people before and after, where we had them listen to a passage that was read in accented speech, and they had to answer comprehension questions about that passage. They also had to listen to some sentences and write down what they heard. So we had some measure of how much they were understanding. And we also gave the people in the at the end of the session, we just asked them about whether their confidence had improved in dealing with accented speech, whether their interactions in the real world had changed at all because of the course that they had taken, whether their attitudes had changed at all, and whether their expectations that they would be able to understand accented speech had improved at all. So we did a number of measures. And in the end, what we found was that the people who had received the accented instruction really felt much more confident in their ability to understand accented speech. They felt that they were going to understand when they entered an interaction, and they felt that their interactions in the real world had been affected, as well as their attitudes. They were a lot more positive about dealing with people who spoke with an accent. Now, as it turns out, all of the participants actually improved over the course of the study. And I think that's partly because they all started to recognize that they had the ability. But the people who had the instruction in accent felt that they had developed these tools to understand accented speech to a far greater extent than the other students had. In fact, they'd had those tools all along, but they weren't using them. And the students themselves admitted that prior to doing the course, they would, in their terms, zone out when they heard somebody start to speak with an accent. They just felt, well, I'm not going to be able to understand this, so they stopped paying attention. And they became aware of that. And as we did the lessons, week by week, they started to have encounters with people in the real world who they might otherwise have avoided or not listened to, and they found that they could understand. And they would come back to class and they'd be really excited and say, you know, this was so incredible. I was with my friends and we were at a restaurant and I was the one who was talking to the waitress and the others couldn't understand her, but I had no difficulty at all. And in fact, their ability hadn't changed. What had changed was their willingness to communicate with people with accented speech and their willingness to recognize that if they didn't understand the first time, they could ask that person to repeat. It wasn't a big deal.
It's the most important to speak English very well without accent. And it's hard because we come when we are adult people and it's not easy.
I just think that it's very sad, and I think it's the result of ignorance, because if people have an accent, and because they have an accent, they cannot be on the air, or they cannot express themselves, or their voice cannot be heard. I feel like that's not just. I feel like this is just this is just injustice, you know, and it also, for me, if I hear someone make such a comment, I will say that this is just like be ignorant, you know, because now we travel and the people that don't speak different languages or speak only their language should ask themselves a question. Why am I only hear what I want to hear? You know, they have to be open, they have to be curious, and they have to want to discover, you know, and learn another language and learn another culture. I think that's the beauty, and I think it should be an opportunity for them to open up more, to learn more, to discover more. You know, if you're talking to me and I see you have maybe an Asian accent, I can ask you, where are you from? You know, and then the conversation can go next. Discover your country, your culture, the history of your country. And that's how I empower myself. And that's how I can nurture you. And also you can nurture me. And also to be able to build up more our knowledge. Then our knowledge is not just limited to that little box that we collected all the information and we put that there. We open up. And I think that's the way to grow.
When newcomers come to a country like the United States or like Canada, they're actually bringing a lot with them. And we should be grateful that they want to come, because they're bringing a range of experiences and diversity to our countries that are really valuable. And many of the people who come are highly skilled, highly educated people who are bringing a lot to our countries. So we should want to learn from them. They're speaking English. And so they've gone the distance. I think that the least that native speakers can do is make the effort to understand them. Canada's former Prime Minister, Jean Chrétien, has a very strong accent. And he makes grammatical mistakes in English. But nobody ever had any problems understanding what he was saying. I mean, they often had trouble understanding some of his policies, but they certainly didn't have any difficulty figuring out what the words were that he was saying. So he's a perfect example of somebody who was able to communicate and was successful. So we need to be a lot more flexible, I think, and recognize that we're bringing biases with us when we listen to anybody. It doesn't matter who that person is. And we need to check that and think, oh, wait a second, you know, maybe I do have a bias, and maybe I should try to overcome that. The media is supposed to be a reflection of what society is about. We should be hearing more accents on radio and on TV. I mean, we definitely should be, because there are lots of accents around. And I think it's a mistake that there aren't more accents, just as a part of the natural course of broadcastings. And it seems that responsible media would want to reflect their audience. And their audience includes people who speak with an accent.
For the American, they been to the Asian country. They understand us, and they can slowly to talk to us. You know, they can use another word, easy word, to talk to us. And they pay more attention to listen to. But for the American living, never go out to the country is different.
I think we shouldn't be ashamed of our identity, because I think that accent is part of our identity. And I remember someone telling me at the point when that was hurting me, my accent was hurting me, I heard someone tell me that I should go to school and try to take like a class to change my accent, to make my accent disappear, because this class is like that. And thank God that I didn't do it, because I don't want my accent to disappear. If that disappears, it's just a part of me disappearing. And I just don't want that, because it's part of my history, it's part of who I am, it's part of my identity.
I try to say the American people, the Latinos and Asians and the other people like me with accent, we are the reality here in this country. And maybe they have to work with us in that, because it's the best way for stay together here. And it's a lot of work for both parts. But I don't know if they can do it, but for my part, I want to try.
You've been listening to the radio program Accents, produced for Women's International News Gathering Service by the award-winning radio producer Mia Kim. Mia Kim, who is from Korea, often omits her own voice from her programs because she has been shy of what listeners will think about her accent. Wings invites listeners to contact us with your own opinions about accents. Do you love all kinds of different accents the way we do? If you have a difficulty understanding someone's accent on radio, do you listen harder or do you tune away? Have you suggestions for Wings on how to help you understand new accents? Our email is wings@wings.org. Wings is a weekly program supported by your local radio station and by direct gifts and grants. Again, our email is wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, author of numerous works on the subject of the gift economy.
Find her series of events at maternalgifteconomymovement.org.
The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast.
I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.